Okay. Turn with me back to Isaiah 55. I suppose that every generation of parents always wants to make things better for their children than what they had it. We parents want them to be comfortable, get a good education, and for the most part, live life that is easier than what we had it. In our natural state, most parents want to give their children things that they feel like they missed out on as a child. Some of every generation, though, have been given a new heart, a heart made alive by Christ dwelling in us. And being made alive, we have new desires. We still long to see our children happy, see them comfortable, see them have as easy a life that we can have for them. But we know that all those things are but temporary conditions. They're going to change. It's going to be hard times. There's going to be sorrow. And we can't change that. So we know that's a fleeting desire. And we long for greater things. We long for our children, for our loved ones, for our friends and neighbors, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. With that in mind, Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What is my heart's desire for my children, for my family, my friends, my loved ones, that they would seek the Lord? What is the desire I have for my own heart? That I would seek the Lord. My goal this morning is to encourage each of us to seek the Lord. And I'll do that by answering five questions. First, we'll look at what is it to seek? What does it mean to seek? Who is to seek, and who are we to seek for? Why do we seek Him? And finally, how do we seek? Most of us in here can probably remember our first math lessons where word problems were introduced. If we don't remember the exact class, we remember the burden of word problems. There's hardly anybody that doesn't hate a word problem. And I think that the problem we have with word problems is they gave too much information. They were misleading on purpose. So you had to figure out what was actually being asked in the question before you could even try to figure out what the problem was. If you don't understand the objective, the goal of what you seek after, you don't even know what questions to ask. So what is it to seek? Does that simply mean that we look around for the Lord? You with children know this problem. Child comes, says, I can't find my toy. Well, go look for it. Seek it. They go in their bedroom, they spin around and go, I don't see it. Mama, where's my toy? Right? That's not seeking. Do we simply go to church, sit in the congregation, listen to the message, get up and leave, go about our daily lives, come back when the church is open? Is that seeking the Lord? Just going when the church attends and gets together? No. Hold your place here in Isaiah and look over in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 8. This is part of a parable our Lord was giving. And he says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Every time I've heard or read that passage of Scripture, I can't help but think of my great-grandmother. She's the woman that I picture in this passage. I knew her well, and she was a woman, a widow of many years. She had very little to her name. But she did have some precious pieces that were hers. Just as this woman, she had 10 precious pieces of silver. And I've always thought it was probably more than the value of this silver that made them precious to her. Perhaps she had 10 grandchildren, and she had a piece of silver that was laid aside for each one of those children. She kept them in a special place. They were reserved. They were important to her. She would check on them every now and again, make sure all of them were there. One morning, she opens up that precious container, because it's precious because of what's in it. She counts her silver pieces, and she's one off. One's gone. It's missing. She lights her candle. She searches high and low. She looks above the kitchen cabinets. She looks under the couch. She looks between the seat cushions. She cannot find her one piece of silver. She has one purpose until she finds that piece of silver. She's going to look for it. She's going to spend every waking moment seeking that one piece of silver. This is the seeker I want to be. This is what I want to emulate her in seeking for my Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Oh, that I might know more of Him. What is it to seek the Lord? It is to search with effort after a precious object that you value above all else. That woman searching for her piece of silver, what did she do when life interrupted her search? A neighbor stops by and interrupts her. She can't put this neighbor off. She's got to be a hostess. She has to be welcoming to her home. But this guest comes in, and the whole time the guest is there, she might be visiting with them, getting them something to eat, putting a little sandwich or some water in front of them, but all the time her eyes are darting about every corner of her house, searching for that piece of silver. If she were forced to leave her home, someone called her and needed her help, so she has to leave her home, the whole time she's gone, her mind is cast back to her house, going through every nook and cranny of that house, looking. Could it be under the bath mat? I haven't looked under there. I'll have to look there as soon as I get home. Did I drop it down the kitchen sink? That might be a place. I'll have to look there as soon as I get home. She searched. She went about her daily life, but she continued searching. This is the commandment we're giving. Seek ye the Lord. Consider how our Lord sought out His church. What great lengths He went to find His church. That sheep who had gone astray, He left the 99 to redeem that one. As he sought us, so should we seek him with effort and diligence. Second question, who is to seek? Seek ye. Seek ye, all of us. Seek ye, Bethel Baptist, when you gather together. Seek ye the Lord. Psalm 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. No one is excluded from this command. Seek ye the Lord. Everyone is to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Ye, the individual. Ye, Billy, seek the Lord. Doug West, seek the Lord. Obi Williams, seek ye the Lord. Individually, we must seek the Lord. As a collective body of God's subjects, we are to seek the Lord. As an individual, we are to seek the Lord. And who do we seek? We seek the Lord. The Lord Jehovah. We aren't commanded to seek after a doctrine or after a church, after some religious experience. We're not even commanded to seek God. We are commanded to seek the Lord, Jehovah, the God who saves. You and I are unable in and of ourselves to go before God Almighty. We declared that we would have absolutely nothing to do with him and our father Adam. We are so dynamically opposed to our God that if we were to approach God, if we were to approach the Almighty without a mediator, we would find him to be a consuming fire. God cannot tolerate sin, and we cannot approach God apart from Jesus Christ. If we were to do so in our sin, he would destroy us. Thank God that we are commanded to seek the Lord. We seek after the Lord our righteousness, the one who by himself has made peace with God. We search for Jesus Christ, the just God and the Savior of sinful men. When do we seek? There's a time limit on our opportunity to seek. Our text says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's coming a day when should we seek, he won't be found. Esau, after he had sold his birthright to Jacob, the scripture said he sought to obtain the blessing carefully with tears, but he couldn't find it. The time to obtain the blessing had passed, and Esau was left without hope. You and I need to seek the Lord today, right now, while he may be found. You who are longing to be free from the bondage of sin and shame, seek the Lord. Seek to know him who is able to save to the uttermost. You don't need to know a whole lot. That blind man whom God opened his eyes, who was blind from his birth, when the Pharisees questioned him, said, all I know is that he opened my eyes. He didn't even know the man's name. But he knew he had opened his eyes, and he believed on him. We need to seek to know the person of Jesus Christ. And when do we seek? We seek Him at all times. We seek Him in times of joy, in times of sorrow, in times of doubt, in times of peace. We seek Him when we're rejoicing in the presence of our Lord, when we're at a conference that the Lord has greatly blessed and visited with power, and our hearts are overflowing because we've heard of and seen the majesty of God's grace. Seek the Lord then. When our hearts are cold, when the heavens become as sounding brass and we can't even pray, seek the Lord. Look over at Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon 3, verse 1. By night, on my bed, I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. Did she stop there? No. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? She continued searching. Verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. She sought diligently, didn't she? And she found Him. We are to seek until we have found Him out. But the more we seek, the more we know of Him, the more we desire to seek Him all the more. That woman who lost her piece of silver sought until she had found the whole piece. And we seek for something far more precious than a piece of metal. We seek for our Lord. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty to perfection? We can search and search for Him, and there's more to be found. We'll never find Him out. Having been awakened from death unto life, we who are blind to the light of Christ, He opens our eyes and we begin to see, and we come to the realization that we're in a cave that is so dark, your eyes never adjust to it. And we see a glimmer of light. Are we satisfied with staying in that cave with that little glimmer of light? Oh no. We have to find out where that source of light is coming from, and we go after it. Once we've been awakened, once we've seen something of the glory of Christ, we're going to be seekers of Him, and we're going to dig after Him. We're going to find that source of light, if the Lord will bless us. I pray that our hearts do not turn cold, that we should stop seeking to know more of our Redeemer. We've looked at what it is to seek, who should seek, who we seek for, and when to seek. Now let's look at why should I seek the Lord? I think this is my most enjoyable part to speak on. For now, I get to tell you what great things God has done for this sinner. I seek the Lord, the God who saves, because I am in need of salvation. I need a mighty Redeemer. I seek the Lord because He first saw me, and I seek Him because I love Him and desire to know more about Him. Earlier, I said that Christ had made peace with God. If you're like me, there was a time you didn't even realize that there wasn't peace between you and God. I was getting along just fine. My little God and me were in agreement. We walked along the same path. And as long as I could justify my words, my deeds, my thoughts, everything was going to be fine because I was in control. When it came time to go to the judgment, everything I've done is justified of me. Some here may still be of that opinion, but the Word of God declares of all mankind, that includes me, there is none good, no, not one. The carnal mind, that mind that we are born with and inherit from our rebellious father, is enmity against God, open hatred. God Almighty is life. He doesn't have life as we do. He is life. And He can have nothing to do with death. Do you realize that we are all born without life, without spiritual life? We're all dead when we come into this world. We do not possess the ability to have fellowship with God because our nature rejects the life of God, because we are born in trespasses and sin. In other words, we're dead. Turn over a couple pages to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Our Lord and our God is speaking here. Isaiah 65, verse 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. These verses describe me in my natural estate. God was exceedingly merciful to me. I grew up under the sound of the gospel with parents who believed, whose parents insisted that I be in services every time the door was open. But rather than that causing me to have a tender heart, I was, as Israel of old. I stood apart from others and declared myself holier than thou. I took it a step further. I stood apart from God and said, don't come near me. I'm holier than you are. I went to the proper church. I was raised by saved parents. Therefore, because of my heritage, because of the things I did, God must accept me. He has no choice. I'm holier than He is. That was my state, apart from God, apart from Christ having mercy upon me. I was a foul stench in God's nostrils. One day, though, as I proceeded down this path of destruction, I and my pharisaical friends who were sitting in judgment of one another, to be truthful, all trying to outdo the other in our holiness, God had mercy upon me. And He sent a man to proclaim the gospel of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And He sent His Spirit and pricked my ears and opened them and pierced my heart and caused it to come to life. I heard not the words of a man, but the word of God. I heard about God who is just in condemning the guilty, and my heart felt the agony of despair. Because for the first time, I knew I was guilty. Nothing I could do would justify me before the thrice holy God. I was convicted of being a sinner, separate from God, with no hope. I was brought to the end of myself and found that I needed a Redeemer. A mighty Redeemer, an exceedingly rich Redeemer, for my debts are great, and a Redeemer who was willing to save such a wretched beggar as myself with nothing to offer. Let me be abundantly clear here. We see beggars in our cities, and we tend to think of beggars being like them, those that we see today. But the beggars we see in our cities are abundantly wealthy compared to what I am in my nature. Generally speaking, the beggars that we see today can move. If you offer them something, they'll get up and come and take it from you. Some go so far as to offer services to earn a little keep, to earn some food, some clothing, some money. My condition before God is as a beggar, nothing like unto these. I'm a beggar who's blind. I have to be led about. I'm a beggar who's deaf. I can't be taught anything. I can't be commanded what to do. I'm lame on both feet. I can't stand. I can't work. I can't help. My hands are withered and dried up. I can't hold a tool. I can't hold food. I'm so weak, I can't even cry out for mercy. I'm an infant, cast out, without strength, without anything to offer. I'm the beggar who can be nothing more than a burden to anyone who tries to help me. That's my condition in my natural estate. I need a Redeemer who is compassionate, loving, merciful, kind, gracious, long-suffering, and patient. That's the Redeemer I need. That's the Redeemer our Lord is. Lord Jesus Christ saw me in that vile condition, and having loved me with an everlasting love, He sought me out. I was unable, due to my natural condition, to come unto him. So he came forth from glory in my likeness, in the likeness of that wretch that I was. He came to where I was, and he took up my case. A body was prepared for him, and he freely said to the justice of God, let that sinner go free. His sins, be they ever so many and wretched, are mine. He took my condemnation. He suffered the penalty, the punishment of my sins, nailing my sin to his cross, shedding his precious blood. He died for me, for my guilt, for my sin, and not for me alone. His blood is so precious, he atoned for a multitude no man can number. All those that God the Father gave him, he redeemed. Praise his name, justice no longer seeks my life. But oh, the riches of his grace. He redeems exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. On the third day, after laying down his life, he took it up again of his own power. Christ, who died for me, now lives, making intercession for me. He who was once clothed in my wretched likeness, who bore my sin and my shame, now clothes me in his own righteousness, the very righteousness of God Almighty. He loved me when I was unlovable, wretched and vile, and he came to where I was, and he redeemed me to himself. And he showers me with great and wonderful blessings. He gave me a love for him. He gave me a heart that can love. If any one of us ever sees Christ as he is, he will say, I love him because he first loved me. The world's religion will tell you to seek the Lord. They'll tell you to seek the Lord because he can give you those things that we find pleasing in our Adamic nature. Seek the Lord. You'll have health. You'll be well. Seek the Lord. You'll have wealth. He'll prosper you in everything you do. Seek the Lord. You'll have long life. What are those things in comparison to one who has seen a glimmer of the Lord's majesty and glory? What is that to one who has peace with God? One who is found trusting and resting upon our Lord's finished work. Is there any gift of this world that can compare with that relationship to the Son of God? If I am one of those Christ shed his precious blood for, God's word says, I shall see a place where the street is pure gold. Wealth beyond imagination. Who cares? My desire is to be with him, to see him, to worship and adore him. That is all my hope. That is all my plea. That is all my heart's desire. I want to seek him. One final question. How? And I've divided this into two parts. The first is, how does a dead, lost sinner seek the Lord? If I go to a funeral and stand at the casket and say, stand up, will I receive a response? Be foolish to think so, wouldn't it? Mankind, in our natural state, is as dead spiritually as that corpse is lying in a casket. More so, we're wretched and vile. Disgusting. God's ministers receive the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The minister of God does not have the power to awaken the dead and to cause them to follow the command, seek ye the Lord, though they get up and proclaim it every time. But that minister rests upon the sure promises of God, that his word does not go forth in vain, but it will accomplish the purpose for which God sends it, whether life unto life or death unto death. The person to whom the Holy Ghost moves upon in power and awakens from death unto life shall become a seeker of the Lord. They will follow the command. Because when the Lord commands a dead sinner to seek, that sinner seeks. Psalm 27:8 says, when thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. If we're going to hear the Lord say, seek ye my face, we need to be where he has promised to be. Our Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Do you want to know more of Christ? To grow in faith, to seek him more? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want to become seekers, we'll gather together with God's people, and we'll seek him in the assembly of the saints. We can read his word. We can search for him in his scriptures, for that's where God has been pleased to reveal himself. And we can ask God to give us a heart to seek. Second part of how are we to seek the Lord concerns our attitude. And you don't have to hold your place here in Isaiah anymore. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark 2 and verse 3. Let's go back to verse 1. Mark 2, verse 1. And again, our Lord entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Word got out that Christ had returned to Capernaum. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. What do you think of the men's attitude who brought this sick man? I think they were seeking Christ with urgency. They had heard that Christ was in the house, but they didn't know for how long he might be there. So they took their friend, they went to the house, but they couldn't enter for the crowd. Did that stop them? Did they leave and decide we'll come back later when it's less crowded? No, they dare not leave. He might leave. We know where he's at right now. We've got to get our friend to him. Their issue was urgent. They needed Christ now. These men had urgent business with Christ, and they were hopeful. They were expectant. They had no way of knowing whether Christ would heal their friend or not, but they did know that others had been healed by him. They knew that he was able to heal, and they knew that if they didn't bring their friend to him, he certainly wouldn't be healed. These men came diligently. Think of the obstacles that were in these men's path. First, their friend couldn't get there. They had to carry him. When they got to the house, it was so packed they couldn't enter. The roof was sealed. They couldn't get in that way. None of these things deterred them. Every obstacle that was in their path, they sought diligently to find a way around it. May God make me a seeker like unto these men, to seek with urgency. My need is great. I need him today. I need him right now. Always, right now. Always in the present. May I seek him with diligence and with great expectations, for he is a great Redeemer, exceeding rich, exceeding grace, exceeding mercy. I should come with him to him with exceeding expectations. Not only that, may I be a seeker of others to come to Christ. That I would bring others to the Lord God who saves and bring them without doubting. I am so guilty of praying to the Lord to have mercy upon someone that I love. And even while I'm praying, the thought goes through my mind, I doubt he will. Is it any wonder my prayers go unanswered when I sit there and doubt my God? He saved this wretch. Why, oh why, would I doubt that he would have mercy on anyone else? I'm lower than the lowest. Been blessed exceedingly, and yet I doubt him. He is able to save to the uttermost. May God give me a heart to believe him and not doubt. Seek ye the Lord. This is not an idle saying nor an invitation, but it is a command to every one of us, every creature upon God's earth, seek ye the Lord. What is it to seek? It's to search after our Lord and Savior with effort and diligence. We seek after Christ and him crucified, and we call out with Paul, "Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." When do we seek him? While it is called today, seek ye the Lord. Why do we seek him? Because we need a mighty Redeemer, and that is what he is, the Savior of sinful men, and because he sought us for his great love toward us. Finally, how do we seek him? We seek Him in gathering together to hear His word. Seek Him in His scriptures and in prayer. And we seek Him with expectation, urgency, and diligence. Seek ye the Lord. Oh, that I might, and we might all become seekers who are diligent and occupied with nothing but finding out Christ. His riches and glory are beyond measure. I know I've been guilty in the past of resting and letting my pastor do the seeking, letting him feed me. And it's wonderful. But oh, what a greater blessing we receive when we seek Christ ourselves, when we search diligently for Him outside of our worship services. You and I are responsible for seeking the Lord individually as well as a congregation. Seek all we want. Spend every waking hour seeking to know Him. And we can't find out even the smallest amount of Him. Seek all we want. We'll never be able to plumb the depths. Seek Him today. Call out for His mercy. Look to Christ for all your needs. He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Christ is all. And if we have Christ, we have all that He is. Life, peace, righteousness, justification, and eternal salvation. May God cause us to be seekers of the Lord. Amen. Greg.